Good
evening.
You're the first to have arrived, Martha.
Okay. Brandon.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hey, Brandon. Good evening.
Hey, Donna.
I'm not sure that Donna's going to join us because of the colonoscopy, so we'll just proceed.
Okay.
We're starting with verse 302 from the Barshav Lech Lecha, section 28, from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. We'll start with Olashem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkin tegid hilu urchimu uthilu uthilu urchimu le'akda l'shem yodhe bavavhe ve'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah lasok Torah mitzvah v'ayinu amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei adenu kananei aleinu ma'asei adenu kananei Kadakil Bisra, Mehahu Bisra, Itanag Bisra, Dileya, Itarav Dabeda, Itrabe Gufa, Mineyahu Mehahu, One Gufa, Katabekama, Kedin Amar Kuchabarihu Kapara Algufa Bisra Bisra Akil Bisra Idrabe Minea Uveya Kata Begin Kah Lekapara Algufeya Bisra Ubisra Yakel Bisra Aved Dima Legufa Begin Kachdama Beishta Ar Mehahu Bisra Levar Itatag Bekapara Aldema Beit Aved Mehahu Bisra Dileya Diktiv Kifadam Ubenefesh Yekaper. The translation: when man eats meat, the flesh of man receives pleasure from that flesh, and they mix together. The flesh of man combines with the flesh of the animal, and the body grows and is built by it. But as a result of the pleasure which man receives from eating meat, his body commits many sins. The Holy One, blessed be he, said, "The meat," referring to the meat of the offering, "shall be atonement for the body." Because one had eaten flesh and had grown flesh through it in the body, and by it one had sinned. Therefore the meat of the offering shall be atonement for the body. So the meat, namely the flesh of the body that eats meat, forms the blood in the body. And because of this, the purpose of the blood that remains outside of the meat of the offering is to atone for the blood of man, which was formed by that same meat of the animal. As it is written, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. My commentary: with Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. This pasuk is teaching a number of ideas that explain the process undergone in the ritual of animal sacrifice. Questions, comments, thoughts?
when you say meat, I understand that to be meal, right? Hebrew meal, meat. Is that correct? Are we actually talking about meat of an animal?
Yes, we're talking about the meat of an animal.
Okay.
We're talking about that prior to the flood, man was not authorized to eat meat. After the flood, he was authorized to eat the meat of the animal sacrifices. He wasn't necessarily, it doesn't make it clear whether he was authorized to eat meat that wasn't brought as a sacrifice. The verse doesn't make that clear.
Right. So when you say it takes on the elevation of the sacrifice for the animal, the soul takes on the desire of that elevation, right?
We're not talking about the soul at all.
Okay.
The verse is talking about that when a person eats meat, that meat mixes, that meat provides energy, protein and fats and so forth, to build the flesh of the body. That's what the verse is saying. And through the tasting and the process of eating meat, the body receives pleasure. And that pleasure is not balanced. That pleasure is not truly earned. It doesn't give the body merit. So the body is out of balance, and the body sins because the body is out of balance. The whole verse is talking about the body, not the soul.
Okay. So why would it be out of balance? Because of the desire? Because of the desire of greed, sort of. And why was, if that was the case, why was Noah allowed to eat the meat of an animal? Although I assume he ate kosher animals, or the family ate kosher animals.
The family ate kosher animals and killed the animal in the kosher manner.
Okay. So their body was balanced when they did that, when they ate the meat of the animal, and being kosher and sacrificed properly, their body was in balance.
It's not saying that at all.
Okay.
It's saying that the pleasure that is received by the body or from eating meat has not been earned. Let me read the verse again, because I know you're driving, so you're not able to read it. When a man eats meat, the flesh of man receives pleasure from the flesh of the animal. And the flesh of man and the flesh of the animal mix together. Rabbi Ashlag clarifies that with this verse or the phrase, the flesh of man combines with the flesh of the animal. and the body grows and is built by it. But as a result of the pleasure which man receives from eating meat, his body commits many sins. The Holy One, blessed be He, said, the meat, Rabbi Ashlag's phrase, referring to the meat of the offering, shall be atonement for the body. Because one had eaten flesh and had grown flesh through it in the body of man, and by it one had sinned. Therefore the meat of the offering shall be atonement for the body. So the meat, namely the flesh of the body that eats meat, forms the blood in the body. And because of this, the purpose of the blood that remains outside of the meat of the offering is to atone for the blood of man, which was formed by the same meat of the animal. As it is written, for it is the blood. It is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Now, modern science... Okay, go ahead, Monica. I'll come back to my thoughts.
Okay, I get that. I get the last part. I understand that part for atonement for the animal makes atonement, the blood makes atonement for the soul. But why is it the kosher... If it's offered up as a kosher animal in the proper process, why, and it's used for the body to grow, are we talking, and it becomes sin, it promotes sin. So I'm thinking lust, I'm thinking greed, I'm thinking evil inclination, I'm thinking mix the blood, just like good and evil, the mixture is not balanced. So why would it become a sin? I know it doesn't say kosher animals, it says animals. But I'm missing that point, missing that link.
Well, in Hebrew, the word for an animal is chaya, meaning a living being.
Right.
The word for kosher animals is behema. And that's the word that's being used in the Aramaic. So when the English says animal, it's really a kosher animal. Now, your question is, why did Hashem allow Noah and his children and all of us afterwards, why did he allow us to eat meat if that's going to create the body to do sins?
Right.
Is that the question?
Yes. Why does it become a sin when Hashem says that we can partake of that animal?
Elsewhere, we will learn about it, but the reason is that human souls reincarnate in kosher animals. That only began with the generation of the flood, the people who died in the flood. Their negativity was so great that they couldn't reincarnate as a human being. They had to reincarnate as an animal, as a behemoth, as a kosher animal. And so God said, to help these souls to elevate, it's okay for you to eat meat. And in order that you, knowing that you're going to sin, knowing that your flesh is going to sin, here is the animal sacrifice to atone for those sins. And as part of the animal sacrifice, we sprinkle blood on different areas of the altar. And so that blood that's of an animal that's sprinkled on the altar atones for the blood of the human being, for the soul of the human being, because not only does the flesh or the body sin, but the flesh, that energy of the animal, that the meat that's being eaten, impacts, it says it impacts the blood. And as that blood has to, then causes the soul to sin, so the sprinkling of the blood on the altar atones for the soul doing sins.
Right.
That's what the verse is hinting at.
Okay, so this is my thought about why he allows us to eat meat, is to release that soul and that social animal to reincarnate, basically.
That's correct. That's correct.
Got it. Okay.
We're allowed to eat meat, knowing that that's going to cause the body to sin. We're allowed to eat the meat because it also helps the human soul that has to be forced to reincarnate into the animal. It helps that human soul to elevate.
How merciful is the sin? How merciful. Amen. Jeez. Wow.
And now that we live in a generation where we don't have animal sacrifice because we don't have the temple.
Right.
So elsewhere the Hashem has told us that prayer, the study of the animal sacrifice, which is included in the daily prayers, that prayer replaces the animal sacrifice, and therefore the prayer is what atones for the sins of the body that come from eating meat.
Right.
So not only do you have how merciful is Hashem for giving us animal sacrifice, but how merciful is Hashem that after we have caused the destruction of the temple and the inability to have animal sacrifice, he allows us to replace that with prayer, which is a second level of mercy.
Well, also, the mercy of Hashem is putting those souls in kosher animals, since their sins were so great that a flood had to come and destroy all, that he put their souls in kosher animals so they could be elevated.
Correct.
Wow. That's just amazing to me. That's just an awe.
We agree. It is absolutely in awe. Now, what I was going to say earlier when you had your comment, and I wanted you to complete it.
Okay.
According to modern science, the blood comes from the bones. So the word for bone isn't being used here. It's flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So is the Zohar wrong? I had made the statement when I began to study Zohar, if there's anything in the Zohar that's not correct, that isn't truthful, then why should I consider the Zohar to be so amazing? why should I consider the Zohar to be the soul of the Torah? And so we have to reconcile. The science says that the blood comes from the bones.
No. No.
And more importantly, it says it comes from the marrow of the bone. And that's the operative word. It comes from the marrow of the bone, bone marrow. But bone marrow is flesh. It's not the bone itself.
Right. Right. I don't agree with my science.
You broke up. I didn't hear what you said.
I said I don't agree with modern science.
No, you can't disagree with it because they have a hypothesis that the blood comes from the marrow of the bone, and they test it and they prove it. I haven't followed it. I haven't read the experiments. But if someone tests a hypothesis and it can be duplicated, the test can be duplicated, we don't argue with modern science. We know that modern science will change as more information becomes available, so that it's not always accurate. And in that sense, if we have something in the Zohar that is inconsistent with the results of modern science, we do need to struggle to find a way of reconciling the truth of the Zohar. And one way of reconciling that is to recognize that science will change, that the results change as the instruments become more precise. As an example of that, there's a statement in the Zohar that the frequency of the light of the sun is green. Well, everybody who looks up sees yellow. But it's coming through the atmosphere, so we don't know what that frequency is until we measure the frequency. And when we measure the frequency in the 1950s, the middle frequency of the light of the sun was not green, it was red. But in the 60s, they remeasured it with new instruments that were more accurate, and it turned out to be green.
Well, I can see that because osmosis, the green is the balance of the world, and there's green all around us. So it's a reflection of the sun that gives the plant its
the photosynthesis. That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. So you begin to see, but we don't just reject modern science. We try and reconcile the two, and if we're unable to reconcile it, we then have to say, all right, let's wait a few more years and see if the science, the instrumentation improves.
Mm-hmm.
But this verse is an amazing verse. There's no question.
It absolutely is. It's just amazing how, they say, it's nothing's new under the sun, right? It just kind of repeats generations. It's just the generations are in a different form,
Correct.
Each generation
also,
takes on a
let me give you some information to help you understand that adage. There's nothing new under the sun. Well, the sun is the metaphor for Tiferet.
Right.
And it's referring to nothing is new under the sun. that above the sun can be new things.
Right.
And what's above the sun is the mind and the arms, the left and right arms, Chesed and Geburah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing new under the chest, meaning the chest, the organs of sexual organs and the legs.
Mm-hmm.
A different way of relating to the old, you know, the old adages. They're true, but not complete.
Right.
Because are there stars above the sun? The answer is yes. There are stars that are further away.
Right, right. There's lots of creation above. There's still creation that we can't even imagine. In our physical minds, spiritually, you could maybe meditate back to some ancient times, but it's
very true. We're out of time, but you can see how amazing the Zohar actually is.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, the thing for me is how great the sins are in every generation prior to ours and those now, that the generation that we're living in now and those to come, the greatest sins. But then you have this amazing creator that will make sure that you get correction one way or the other. You will seek your correction.
It may take many lifetimes. This lifetime or another lifetime, whether it takes Armageddon war, God forbid, or whether it's a step-by-step process of studying the Torah. It's all going to happen.
Right.
You have a good evening.
We'll
study the Ari later today.
All right. Bye, Brandon. Bye. Shalom.
Shalom to all.